You good to go?
Excellent. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And today I have another amazing guest. I'm really excited to have her over. We're actually going to be talking about what could be a very heavy topic. But Jewel, our guest this week, just has such a beautiful, soothing way of talking about it that it's kind of reassuring. So we're not just going to be, when we talk about grief, it's often something about very something that's very heavy. And but we'll talk also a little bit of how that applies to for children. Grief can look differently as well. So we'll get started. I'll put the spotlight on Jewel. I have the beautiful Jewel Veach here with us. And before we get started, thank you so much for coming out. And before we get started, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Of course. And thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here and looking forward to this conversation. I am Jewel, and I have been a spiritual mentor for 20 years. And I came upon this livelihood by no accident. I don't believe there are any accidents. I was a career practitioner, career advisor for 20 years prior. And I really found that I needed and desired to bring more beyond the exploration journey of our ne one's next career or new business, which is also part of what we do. But there's always a spiritual component. There is always an internal component. And this inner core work has always been my come from place. And so I have been serving. I've served thousands of beautiful human beings, and oftentimes people come to me who've created a kind of material success. You know, there's a home, there's a family, there's a business, there's a level of achievement in career, and yet there's a missing piece. There is something that leaves people feeling empty. And this is the joy quotient that I have cultivated in myself. And I've done it through traveling through grief, actually. And I think that's where you and I connected on this topic. And yeah, so it's really, you know, it's really such a beautiful journey of transforming our lives and accessing that level of joy that money just can't buy, you know. And so many people chase for years with and really are looking in the wrong places because it really this soul level of fulfillment really lives within. So I'm excited to be here and for this conversation with you.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to have you on because you kind of really hit the mark there with, especially when it comes to grief. We are really a lot of the times our reflex is to look outside and kind of grab on to whatever we can, you know, get our hands on. But it is from within. And before we get into your work, can you kind of tell us when usually when we hear grief, we're talking about the big emotions, the big moments in our life, you know, the loss of a loved one or, you know, something major. But could you kind of talk to us a little bit about what are some of the lesser known symptoms of grief that we could see in people that a lot of the times, from my experience, is just we don't think it's grief because it's not major enough of an event or a situation. But can you kind of share with us some of the lesser known symptoms?
Yes. Yeah, I love that you've brought that in because it really is n not a measurable thing. You know, when we lose something, whether it's a part of ourselves, whether it's an old identity, whether it's I remember my mom had given me a beautiful pearl earring and I lost it the day she gave it to me, and I was just in so much grief. Like I had lost something. And you know, whether it's a loved one or a material object or an identity, something internal as we shift and change, there's always this very natural feeling of loss that we tend to, and we've been conditioned for this, to hold it in, to tamper it down because it doesn't feel good. And we've also been conditioned not to feel the things that don't feel good. And without grief, there is no joy, because we live in this world that is so dualistic. And so the lesser known, you're asking about the lesser known symptoms of grief, can be that, you know, you might feel uninspired, you might feel numb, you might feel like you're cut off, you're disconnected, because you're not feeling, because there's been a feeling that has been suppressed inside of the body. I've often also seen, and I've seen this in myself, whatever I speak about is, you know, comes so much through my own experience of being angry and being irritable and being, you know, short with people, because there's something internally that hasn't moved. There's energy that is stuck, and it comes out in another way. It comes out in disguised as anger, or, you know, being irritable, but really what's underneath it is unfelt emotion.
That's what it is.
And I
like that you mentioned that sometimes the symptoms is another emotion. It's like that secondary emotion is almost like a side effect of it. And
yes,
it's important to notice these things, especially with children, because like you said, in children, they'll see it as a change of teacher, you know, we threw away the lunchbox because it was getting kind of yucky, or, you know, little things like
that. That's right. Or a friend that's, you know, dismissed you, or
the little things, and it will come up as a tantrum or something. And you just think, but deep down, it really is the loss of something. So it's a complicated emotion. And this is where I love having you on, because I figured I'd ask you, because you have quite the experience of this. But what are the most, like, some of the biggest myths around grief? A lot of people have, like, conceptions of grief, or
One of the biggest ones in my experience is that there's like this, there's a measurability to it. There's a time frame where, you know, if you lose someone, by the time you reach a full year cycle, you should be over it. If you lose your best friend, by the time, you know, a few months goes by or a few weeks goes by, you should get over it. It's just, you know, and there's a lot of minimizing in this field, I feel, and this myth around having this measurement of time. And what I have come to see and experience is that it is so different for everybody. It ranges from, you know, years to months, and there's no formula. There's no formula. And the other myth that I see is that all, like, the cycles of grief, the aspects of grief that one goes through can happen simultaneously, and they're not sequential. So, you know, you start with the shock, move into the denial, you move into the anger, and you move into the acceptance. And the thing is that none of them are static. And people think, well, okay, what stage of grief are you in now? Oh, you're in denial. Oh, that means that when you're done denial, then you'll move into this part. And it doesn't work that way. It's not static, and it's moving energy, because everything is energy, and emotion and grief is energy. So it's ever moving and ever fluid, and can show up in different ways at different times for different reasons as a result of different triggers. So that's the second one that I find is just most prevalent for all of us. Yeah.
I love that, because you're right. It's not linear. But when
it's
we
not
look
linear.
When we look at books, they kind of section off those stages of grief.
And I mean, it's wonderful to have that understanding. So when you're in the anger, or when you're in a stage, you can say, oh, I'm moving through this right now, but to not box yourself in and say, oh, this is, I'm moving through this. So when's this going to be over? And then when it is, then I'll be in this stage. And then that one will be done.
Right.
So I think it's important to have an understanding of it, but not to hold on to it so tight that it becomes this linear box that you put yourself in, and you limit yourself from being an emotional human being and having the emotions as they come up.
Yeah, that is, that explains a lot. I remember some of the events that I have gone through where I was thinking to myself, shouldn't I be over this by now? You know, like it's just, you get hard on yourself because technically you should be past that stage, but it makes sense if it's
surfacing.
There's a trigger, there's something else there.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Hasn't been addressed yet.
Yeah, and it can so easily turn to shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. We talked about, and this is where I love your work, is your understanding of grief was able to kind of move over and use it as fuel to create joy. Are you able to, was there a defining moment when you realized you could use that as a tool to help people?
I don't know if it was one specific isolated defining moment. I believe that it came incrementally through my own work within myself. And when, I'll just give you a little bit of backstory. When my sister was diagnosed as HIV positive, in a time when this was an incurable disease, there was nothing, it was a death sentence. There was a period of 10 years of anticipatory grief in me. And she would always send me letters filled with her pain and fear and all of that stuff. And I was holding this every week. I would hold these letters. And I, unbeknownst to me, taught myself how to move the energy of grief because I had to. Otherwise I would explode. And so every week I would light the fire. I would turn on a song that I knew would evoke emotion. And so I would evoke the emotion. I would let myself lean in fully and feel it all the way to the end of itself. And at the end of itself, because everything is energy in motion, emotion is energy in motion, and it just wants to move. At the end of the arc of the emotion, I would feel this stillness. And at the time, I don't know that I would have defined it as joy, but there was this stillness. And actually, now that I think about it, there was this moment of recognition, acceptance, and feeling of it's okay. It's okay. And I'm okay. And everything is okay. And we are infinite. And so I would come back around to the truth that we are all infinite beings. And then I would have relief for another week. And then I would do this for 10 years. And as I was doing this, unbeknownst to me, I was creating this modality of work that I have been bringing forward to facilitate this healing through grief in other people. Mm-hmm. And so the defining moment for me, I think, came when the more I tuned into other people and became a support for other people, I saw this pattern. I saw this people going through cycles where I recognized there's always grief. When someone comes for support, there's always some kind of grief. It might not be a monumental loss of a loved one. It might not be a tragic loss. It might be the grief of, a spouse. It might be the grief of your kids leaving home. I remember how much I cried when my kids left home. It just shocked me. So people come during change and transition for support to move into the next chapter. And what I recognized was that there was always this strand of grief embedded in our in the field within which we were working together. And I recognized that that I had transformed grief into joy in myself in order to be able to serve this way. And that was a revelation I had a few years ago. And when I had the revelation, I guess that would be the defining moment when I
Right.
realized that this was part of my blueprinted, ordained purpose here on the planet. And I continue to recognize and gain greater awarenesses about how grief is transformed into joy every day. You know, it's always moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is always moving. I like
Yeah.
how you said that. The defining moment is when you realize you could take all of your years of experience and put it into some
Yeah.
kind of blueprint. Yeah, I like that. You
Well,
when
and people ask me, you know, it must be really heavy work. And I've thought about that, and it's not. Like, it literally uplifts me. And I think that the reason for that is that when we're together, there's always a transformation. And I feel like the energy that transmutes from grief into this new level of awareness of joy could be this inner freedom, could be this recognition of, oh my gosh, this is who I am, could be this claiming of one's value. That is really uplifting. And what I've come to see is that you can't have all of these things without moving through the painful parts. Yeah.
They're the ones you need to work on to actually get your healing.
Yeah.
I love that. And
they catalyze the healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. That's the right word, catalyze. I don't know if that's like that with you. And I do work with my clients, and you see that moment where it kind of clicks almost, and the whole body changes. Though that, like, I read a body language in people working with children. That's pretty much what you have to do. But it's just that, oh, that aha moment where they realize that they can do something, they can work around it, and it just, like, you feel the weight just come off of their shoulders, and they just kind of, so I don't know if you see that as well, but there is that moment where you can tell, like,
Absolutely.
yeah.
And what's ironic, yet not so ironic, about what you just said is that it's like this return to innocence, this return to the childlike magic, and forgetting about, you know, what was so raw and perceptibly real and painful, and just remembering. It's just this beautiful remembrance of the childlike magic. And I think that adults, I know we all do, we forget, you know. So if we can start with working with children in this way, and working within ourselves in this way, there comes this intersection meeting point of this childlike magic where we can meet ourselves and meet our children at a level that is that takes us into the realms of this joy and of this magic and of this peace and knowing that we're okay and we're safe. I think
Yeah.
these are skills that kids need to learn, you know.
They really do, especially now. I find that we're often kind of disconnected from ourselves. And I see it in the children as well, but with parents that I work with, you know, the parents are fighting to reconnect with themselves. So it's if we can, that's when I work with parents, it's often just, I'm going to show you how to do it so you can show your child how to do it. And it
Exactly.
just, that way we can grow exponentially instead of just doing it one by one. But before we get into your work, is there one thing that people could start doing to kind of move away from, like, let's say start today, tomorrow, where we can kind of help move away from grief to go towards joy?
The first thing is to notice that it's there. And oftentimes, because we've pushed things down so much and so far, the thinking mind can't quite grasp that there's something going on, or that there may be grief there. But the body knows. The body is the, you know, it is directly responding to whatever subconscious thoughts are going on. And oftentimes the grief has been, you know, pushed down into the subconscious. And so one of the things that is really, really easy is to, I always say, put your hand on your heart, because this pulsating you know, the pulsation of your heart is like this connection to your physical body, and tune into where the tension might be, the contraction might be, the tightening might be in the body. And all that means is that there is something that is being held. It just means that there's energy not moving. And energy not moving is suppressed energy, suppressed emotion. So to tune into to the part of the body, and when you can kind of locate it, like sometimes it's in the throat, sometimes you find yourself clenching your jaw, sometimes you're clenching your fist, sometimes, you know, there's the furrowed brow, sometimes there's just a tightness in the shoulders or the neck. And to simply, without trying to figure it out, to simply tune into that location and to lean into the sensation, because what we resist persists. So if you're tense in the shoulder and you know that you're tense in the shoulders and you go, oh, I shouldn't be, I don't want to be tense in my shoulders, and you're resisting it, it's going to persist and accentuate. Whereas if you notice that there's tension in your shoulder, your throat, and you lean into it, instead of resisting it, you allow it. Kind of like there's a flower in the world called the heliotrope flower, and it's purple. Many actually plants do this, but as the sun moves across the sky over the course of the day, the flower petals open and face the sun as it moves across the sky over the course of the day. So it's kind of like that, where you turn toward the tightness rather than trying to get rid of it, because every time you try to get rid of it, you're resisting it. And it's a really simple yet very profound way to start. And you'll find that as soon as you give yourself an opportunity to have the willingness to lean into it, what it's doing actually is it's priming your system to become accustomed to then lean into the heart emotions, because you're learning how to lean in rather than push away, push down, force forward, you know, like just clench and push and force. You're learning a skill that allows you to lean into the difficult emotions, which then leads you down this path of being able to clear and heal and move energy. This is what I did for those 10 years, as I learned, I was teaching myself how to move energy.
I love that. Once it starts flowing, it feels great too. And I like that, the visual that you gave us, the hand on the heart. That's something that you can do with children as well. They're really sensitive to that. Just put your hand on the heart. Where do you close your eyes? Where do you feel it? And then give it a color, give it a shape, give it something. And I love that. That's so, I got shivers just thinking about that. There's so much that we could do with it. It's great. You have, I'm going to switch over to the book right away, because I could honestly, I could see myself talking to you for hours about this.
We could.
When I get the shivers, I know I'm onto something, and I want to keep it on track. But you have this amazing book, True Gifts. And can you kind of talk about it a little bit and see, because this is something that could definitely help a lot of people getting through what we just talked about.
Yes. Yes. And thank you. I'm so glad you purchased it. It's amazing. Oh, it's called True Gifts, Ignite Your Soul Magic. And this is what we're talking about. Ignite your soul magic and monetize the highest expression of your purpose. And I wrote this book as a result of my whole experience. So while I was, you know, a career advisor for 20 years, I was also on this spiritual path for, you know, the same 20 years, and brought those together, because what I discovered through my career and what I discovered for myself is that without being connected to your purpose, your heart purpose, your heart gifts, your heart desire for what you want to bring into the world, the legacy you want to leave for the children, for the future generations, without being connected to the highest expression of your purpose, excuse me, there's a disconnect. And there can be grief as a result of abandoning your gifts, abandoning this purpose that you came here, this ordained purpose that you came here to bring into the world. And yet we're trained to not believe in ourselves and believe in the larger collective that says you should be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, you know, get a good job, buy a house, get married by the time you're whatever, you know, all of those expectations that are put upon us. And it's so easy for us as humans to subscribe to that. And when we, and as we do, we forget about the, like the child, the magic that lives inside of the heart and inside of this genius blueprinted, we all have such beautiful, unique blueprinted gifts. And so this is called true gifts because the truest gift that a person can give to themselves is to honor the true gifts. And then when you can make a living and monetize the highest expression of the deeper purpose of why you came to the planet, there's a healing in that. There's an organic healing in that. And it facilitates the transitioning and the change, the ever constant change in life, and the grief that comes as a result of change, of needing to leave something behind and change into something new. So it's definitely a work of the heart, and I wrote it in 2021, and I'm working on my second book right now, but it has helped an enormous number of people. And yeah. I have a digital copy that I am so happy to gift to people who are interested in reading the digital copy. And then I always like to have the print book in my hand as well. But and I'll be looking forward to knowing your experience as you read it.
Yes, I think this is my weekend plans because I got it in yesterday. I was so happy I got it before we got to record. And I can see that because I looked at it very, I love books. Like I have to, have a relationship with books. Like I just kind of, I'm very tactile. So I kind of leaf through it. And it is really just a nice tool to have to kind of refer. Because when we get disconnected with our purpose, that's where things don't, I know from my experience, it's where things don't go right. Mm-hmm. And every time it's kind of almost like a cycle. Sometimes when there's a lot of something going on, I feel myself getting disconnected and going into, you know,
yeah,
structured and you know, so I just go with logic as opposed to going within and going with what I need. So this, I can't wait to have a look. And it's very generous of you to offer the digital version. I'll make sure to add that to the description so people can have a look at it. But honestly, this is going to be a beautiful read. It's not a big brick of a book, you know. This is what's great about it. People get discouraged when they see the big bricks. This is a perfect size book. So I'll make sure to add that. And you have a wealth of tools to deal with that. You do offer programs, you do have ongoing things. So can you kind of talk about what you have if people want to work with you and get more support and get all the tools that they need to be able to go through this? Yeah,
absolutely. I work with people one-on-one privately. I have group programs and masterminds, and my favorite and current program has been a work of the heart, and it's called Elemental. And we move through the four seasons and the four elements. Right now we're in winter water. And during this seasonal time, over the course of the 3 months, we are looking at heart keys. And heart keys are really, they're heart qualities that unlock our grief, that unlock our feeling of separation, that unlock our disconnection, addictions, you know, fear of lack. And so we work through the heart keys, through the seasons, through the elements, and the heart key modality, the heart key method is really what I was describing. Unbeknownst to me, I was developing as I was grieving my sister in the period of anticipatory and then post her post transition, but it was like always tuning back to the heart keys, the keys in your heart. These are qualities that speak truth and that hold the level of wisdom and the kind of wisdom that we lose track of, we forget, we disconnect from. So Elemental is a group program, and I'll give you my website, which is www.jewelveach.com, and you'll see Elemental on there. I have some different resources and free offers as well. I have a free heart key reading if someone is interested in, coming into this energy and receiving a reading from me. It's an audio reading. I have the free digital copy of the book. And there's also a One Heart activation in there, which is an audio activation. So just all sorts of things that are available just to, bring you into the realm, the heart realm. Because I believe that not only because of the times we're in now, but, history has also shown us that life has been very challenging for a long time, and especially now. Yeah. I truly believe, and I'm on a mission to guide people back to heart. We need to come back to heart. And it can be so easily said. People talk about, come back to heart, live from your heart, home is where your heart is, all the time. But what these words actually really mean, and the wisdom inside of and the energy inside of these words, is where the magic is. Yes. And I have a Facebook group, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. So in my Facebook group, I offer free trainings and different kinds of resources in there too. So you can find me on social anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. And I'll make sure to put all the social media angles and your website on there so people can have a look. I highly recommend it. And it's, it's that time of year where we try to refresh and renew and restart. So this is great. You get all the tools that you need to get past those big emotions so you can move forward a bit. That's wonderful. Very generous of you. Thank you. The free reading. I mean, again, I know a lot of people are not going to want to pass that out. And then your digital copy of your book as well is wonderful.
Very welcome.
Yeah, I could keep you on all day, but we're talking about magic. So I'm going to ask my magical question that I love to ask. And it's just, I always say this every episode, I made a promise to a little girl that I would ask the adults this question. So what would you like to be when you grow up?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. What I never want to grow up.
Yeah.
I don't want to grow up in the context of what society tells us growing up means, I desire to stay magical and to stay childlike and to stay innocent and to stay connected with my innocence. And I'm feeling this, like I'm feeling chills come down on the right side here as I say this, because I want to be the best version of myself always. And I am who I want to be already because of the work that I've been doing. And we all get to be who we truly are at the heart, and, stay in your magic. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but.
Oh, there's no wrong answer. I love it. And I never get the same answer either, but honestly, just to stay in your childlike magic, I think that's the most beautiful thing you could do for the rest of your life. I think it's wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. Go out into nature and, revel in the beauty that it is, because it is truly a reflection of your magic.
Yeah.
It's a mirror for us.
It is. It really is. I love that. I love it. So again, thank you.
Thanks
so
for asking.
Much.
I love that question.
I love it. Yes. So you've already shared kind of how people can follow you. So I will make sure to add that. But is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up? Is there anything else that you'd like to?
I'd like to offer that the simplicity of literally putting your hand on your heart, and you can even press on your heart, on your chest, because it's this sensation that you are reconnecting. And be willing to feel, have the courage to feel. It's not as dark and hard as you think it's going to be. It is so liberating. Be willing to feel is really what I want to leave you with here.
I love that.
Start with the heartbeat.
I love that. I followed you. I did it myself, and I felt this warmth already. I think it's we need to do it regularly as well, not just when something is going on.
That's right.
Check in regularly.
In gratitude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, thank you again. And anytime, whenever you're ready to come back on, just let me know. I'd be more than happy to have you on again.
I would love to. Let's do it again. I feel like there are many, many, many places and spaces and directions we can go with our conversation. So I'd love to.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And for everybody watching or listening, don't forget to follow Jewel with all of your wonderful work that she does. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening on. And again, thank you, Jewel, for joining
us.
And
thanks
until
for having me, Danielle.
Thank you. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk.